Hello friends, welcome to VSchool. We are on the final chapter of this book, that is chapter 10 on agricultural market reforms. In the previous chapter, we saw the different initiatives taken by the government for promoting and developing the agricultural sector. One big initiative amongst them is farmer friendly market reforms. When we say farmer friendly market reforms, it is specifically aimed at not only increasing the production, not only increasing the productivity, but also to ensure a good revenue for the farmers. Only then would food security and sustainability of the agricultural business could be ensured. So in this chapter, we are going to trace the origins for agricultural market reforms. We are also going to understand certain legislations which were intended for regularizing the agricultural commodities. However, with the changing times, they have been amended and repealed, like the Essential Commodities Act. We also have some new legislations for improving the agricultural marketing, that is the new model law for agricultural marketing, and we'll also understand why the recent Farm Acts of 2020 were introduced, protested, and finally repealed. We will conclude this chapter by understanding the impact of agricultural market reforms. So that will bring about a 360 degree view about agricultural market reforms. So first of all, why the agricultural market reforms are important for agriculture, specifically in India? As I said, very important for increasing the production, productivity, and food security, because India is having a huge population and it is crucial for ensuring food security and economic stability for the huge population and the country. Farmers have to cultivate and make various field preparation. It also needs to plan harvesting and marketing of agri-products. Agricultural sector supports employment as well as farmers' well-being. And overall, agriculture contributes to a handsome economic growth. Agriculture provides food security for a large population, enhances well-being of rural communities, and stops the migration of rural population to urban side in search of employment. So what are the current challenges which necessitates fine-tuning of agricultural reforms? The current challenges in agriculture are inefficiencies in infrastructure and storage. Farmers' livelihood and well-being in certain areas are challenged. Climate change can play a spoilsport in productivity. Technological innovations needs to be introduced for enhancing productivity. Environmental sustainability has to be kept in mind, right from the plan to seed till the harvest. ECG norms also has gained special considerations in recent times for agriculture. And hence we come to the point of importance of market reforms. Market reforms are essential for fostering growth in the farm sector, improving marketing facilities and infrastructure, so that whatever the farm produce is sent to the market or the consumer at a reasonable price without post-harvest losses, then only sustainability within the agricultural industry could be maintained. Laws and regulations that are farmer-friendly are required to enhance the agricultural system's efficiency, competitiveness, and resilience. Farmer-friendly regulation will ensure smooth implementation and the desired outcomes could be easily obtained. Let's understand the rationale behind the agricultural market reforms. The prime rationale behind agricultural market reforms is to improve the price realization for farmers. This price realization for farmers starts right from deciding what to plan and what price they are going to get for their harvest. At the same time, this also ensures affordability of prices to the consumers and a decent profit margin for farmers. It eliminates the exploitation by the middlemen, which also has an important influence on price realization for farmers. It includes providing online platforms for agricultural marketing for establishing a direct connectivity between the farmers and the buyers. It also involves integrating the Indian agricultural markets with the global markets, which will ensure a seamless technology platform for accessing real-time data and deciding on price risk management. It also promotes competition and efficiency in the marketing system and encourages the private sector investment in agricultural infrastructure and processing so as to lessen the burden on the sole shoulders of the government. Now let's look at how the agricultural market reforms had evolved. It has started right from the colonial British era. During the colonial British era, they had focused on controlling the consumer food prices. However, there was a policy shift post-independence wherein the food prices were not only controlled, but protecting farmers' interest was also aimed at. Role of the government post-independence was specifically aimed at enhancing the farmers' income as well as the production efficiency. Various revolutions such as the Green Revolution could help boost the farmers' productivity. And because of which, there was an impact on farmers. Benefits could include the minimum support price for the farmers when the actual price was lesser than the MSP. Farmers were assured of certain price by which they can plan their agricultural activities. Despite significant progress in food security and progressive agricultural policy by the government, farmers still face and hence newer surface problems and hence a newer and the recent regulations or reforms in agriculture marketing becomes necessary. These problems faced by farmers in agriculture marketing could be because of the infrastructure deficit in agricultural supply chains as well as the agricultural marketing laws in India. Now let's look at the origins of agricultural marketing reforms in India, specifically post-independence. Article 246 of the Constitution of India states subject matter of laws made by Parliament and legislature of states. The Indian Constitution under List 2, that is the state list of Schedule 7, empowers the state government to enact laws, frame policies and regulate activities relating to the agriculture and the markets and the fairs. Trade and commerce within the state are under Entry 26 of List 2, whereas the interstate trade and commerce is under Entry 42 of List 1, that is the Union List. Article 302 allows the Parliament to restrict the freedom of trade and commerce or intercourse between one state and another for the public interest. So overall, there is a backing from the Constitution to actually create laws related with agriculture and matters related with it. Since independence, Union Ministry of Agriculture and Farmers Welfare has taken several initiatives and spearheaded key agricultural reforms. It has prioritized a self-reliant India, self-reliant farming sector, self-reliant farmers, and has emphasized several alternative measures to increase the farmers' income. The government is constantly working to reduce the input cost of farming so that farmers could control the production cost at the same time, making some profits they can sell their produce at a reasonable price to the markets and to the consumers. The infrastructure provided for farmers is improving and it's aimed at the welfare of the farmers. The main legislation which was enacted for controlling the essential commodities was the Essential Commodities Act of 1955. However, with the changes in the agriculture, with the changes in the production and productivity, with the changes in the import and export policies, the Essential Commodities Act of 2020 was enacted to replace the Essential Commodities Act of 1955 with an updated version. The amended version is aimed to modernize and reform the regulatory framework to foster economic growth, to promote investment, to ensure food security, and also to protect the interests of the consumers and the producers. Government can regulate agricultural foodstuff in extraordinary situations such as the war, the famine, the extraordinary price rises, as well as the natural calamities. Now, what were the main reasons for the amendment to the Essential Commodities Act of 1955? The Essential Commodities Act of 1955 came in when India faced famines, droughts, and the effect of the World War II was devastating, and hence India depended on imports for meeting its food requirements. It was considered as a scarcity era legislation for ship to mouth economy. This 1955 legislation aimed at regulating the production, supply, storage, and distribution of the essential commodities and make essential commodities available to the consumers at fair prices. It also aimed at protecting the consumers against irrational spikes in the prices. However, the situation wasn't the same 6 decades later. The scenario has been changed. India has become surplus in most agricultural commodities. India is now the leading exporter of rice and wheat. The Essential Commodities Act of 1955 was thwarting the integrated value chain across the country. Farmers cannot get better prices or were not able to get better prices for farm produce due to inadequate investments in cold storage, warehousing, processing, and exports. Farmers had to suffer losses during bumper harvests, especially for perishable goods, and hence dismantling controls under the Essential Commodity Act of 1955 was essential, as it would help India's agri exports and enable private investment in the supply chains. The main objective was to deregulate the production, supply, and distribution of essential commodities. This is what we are talking about, the amended version, to promote the ease of doing business, to provide freedom to the farmers in the production and marketing of essential commodities and benefits from better prices for the produce, and to prevent the shortages, hoardings, and black marketing of essential commodities. The main objective is also aimed to ensure the availability and accessibility of critical commodities to consumers at fair and reasonable price, to attract private sector or even foreign direct investment to drive growth into the agricultural sector, protect the consumers from exploitation and enhance consumer welfare, and also to enhance the market integration across different regions of the country. So with these objectives, there was an impact. The impact came in the form of boosting investment in cold storage, modernizing food supply chain, bringing price stability, creating proper storage facilities to curb the wastage of agri products, fostering a competitive environment, strengthening the farm-to-fork chain, and it also succeeded in increasing the farmers' income and improving the agribusiness efficiency. It brought in private investment in the food and processing industries, and all this significantly benefited farmers and the consumers. It instilled hope and optimism in potential of our agricultural sector, and it created a win-win situation for farmers, consumers, and the economy. A new change happened in marketing by bringing in the new model law for agricultural marketing. The central government enacted a new model law for agricultural marketing in 2003. The Model Act of 2003 established APMC and infrastructure for the agricultural marketing of farm produce. Its primary objective was to develop an efficient marketing system for buying and selling farm produce and promoting exports. The central government later amended the Model APMC Act of 2003 to benefit the farmers. State governments enacted the State Agricultural Produce Marketing Development and Regulation Act to regulate and develop agricultural markets in its geographical area. The State Agricultural Produce Marketing Development Regulation Act aimed at developing an efficient agricultural marketing, promoting new and competitive agriculture markets in private and cooperative sectors, facilitating different models of ownership of market, as well as to facilitate procurement of agricultural commodities directly from the farmers' fields by large trading companies. It also aimed at encouraging contract farming programs, accelerating investment in agricultural marketing, integration of farm production with national and international markets. It also enabled farmers to adopt the modern marketing practices. The State APMC Act were also enacted by the state government. Accordingly, agricultural markets in various geographical areas are established and regulated under the State APMC Act enacted by the state government. The state government constitutes the marketing committee to manage the markets. Wholesale agricultural marketing activities are operational in these regulated markets. The salient features of these acts were to develop state acts were to develop an efficient marketing system, promote the agri processing, promote agricultural exports, lay down procedures and systems for effective infrastructure for the marketing of agricultural produce. Now the question comes to who can apply to establish new markets. They were also specified. Entities that can apply to establish new markets for agricultural produce included the legal persons, the growers, as well as the local authorities. The growers can sell their produce through existing markets, which are administered by the Agricultural Produce Market Committee. Now let's look at some definitions to bring in clarity about whom we are talking about. This clarity will help us to understand these entities in the right context. Like, who is an agriculturist? An agriculturist is a person who is resident of the notified area of the market, engaged in production of agricultural produce by himself or by hired labor, or otherwise does not include any market functionary. So this clarification itself in the acts or legislation helps us to connect the contents of the legislation in a proper context. What is agricultural produce? Agricultural produce can include all produce and commodities, whether processed or unprocessed, of agriculture, horticulture, apiculture, sericulture, livestock, and products of livestock, fleeces and skins of animals, forest produce, etc. And they could be as specified in the schedule or declared by the government by notification from time to time. It can also include a mixture of two or more than two such products. Market area and special markets also important definition. Like, a market means a market established under section 4, which includes market area, market yard, sub yards, and the market committee. A market area means area notified under section 4. Special markets are also known as special commodities market, can exist in any region having market area for the specified agricultural commodity. Market yard in relation to market area means a specified place and includes any enclosures, buildings, or locality declared as such in any area by the state government or the director or the managing director by notification. There can be private market yard. Private market yard means a place where, other than the market yard or sub-market yard, in the market area where infrastructure has been developed and managed by a person for marketing a notified agricultural produce holding a license for this purpose. Now, an important concept relating to mandi fee when it is connected with an APMC. A trade is carried out in the market area and is liable for payment of mandi fee. The market fee will be levied at a single point of sale of notified agricultural commodities. The farmers sell their produce at the agricultural produce market committee mandis to get the appropriate MSP. So it's a proper regulated area, and for which the farmers will have to pay the fee for utilizing the APMC. Agricultural produce can be purchased from private yards. Agricultural produce can also be purchased directly from agriculturists in one or more than one market area. In case of a dispute, there is a dispute resolution mechanisms to resolve dispute between the private market or the consumer market as the market committee. Now, there are specific responsibilities put on APMC, like ensuring transparency in pricing system in market area, ensuring transactions taking place in the market area, provision of market-led extension services to farmers, and ensuring that farmers receive payments for selling of agricultural produce on the same day. The responsibility of APMC also includes promoting agricultural processing and value addition activities in the agricultural produce, publicizing data on the rates and arrivals of agricultural produce entering the market area for sale. The responsibility also includes setting and promoting public-private partnerships for managing agricultural markets. Now, friends, we have seen the evolution, but there are certain new legislations also introduced, like the Farm Acts 2020. Let us first understand the acts and the latest happenings that have come out because of introduction of such acts. So what are the Farm Acts 2020? Farm Acts 2020 were intended to give more choices to farmers to sell produce outside of APMC mandis, also to fetch better prices through increased competition and allow private companies to buy directly from farmers. It also aimed to provide benefits to farmers, like private companies could provide inputs to improve infrastructure, technology adoption, and overall efficiency in agricultural value chains. Farmers could gain more bargaining power and opportunities for higher returns with direct marketing and contract farming. The Farm Act 2020 was introduced to align with international precedents of developing economies and also to meet the changes required to agricultural policies due to the ushering of the new liberalized era since the 1990s. The Farm Acts 2020 also aimed to reform the agricultural marketing in India and change how agricultural produce is marketed, sold, and stored across the country. However, there were protests for the Farm Acts 2020. Some farmers and farm organizations protested the Farm Act 2020 for specific reason. They felt it was corporate friendly and anti-farmer. They feared that it could weaken the mandis, they could lose the MSP, it would reduce the revenues of regulated market yards, it could hurt the farmers' interest and erode their entitlement to a remunerative price. This matter went up to Supreme Court. The Supreme Court gave a hearing after listening to this massive agitation over the Farm Act erupted from many farmers. The talks between the government and agitating farmers could not resolve, and then the Supreme Court, after hearing the petition challenging the farm laws, stayed the implementation of the farm laws. So this was a very, very important development since the introduction of the Farm Act 2020. Supreme Court also set up a committee of experts to listen to the apprehensions raised by the farmers' grievances regarding the farm laws and to suggest if any changes were needed to the enactments. Subsequently, the farm laws were formally repealed by the government. So, how did the Supreme Court come into the picture? A massive agitation over the Farm Act erupted from many farmers. The talks between the government and the agitating farmers could not resolve the issue. A petition challenging the farm laws was filed. The Supreme Court, after hearing the petition challenging the farm laws, stayed the implementation of the farm laws. It also set up a committee of experts to listen to the apprehensions raised by the farmers' grievance regarding farm laws and also to suggest if any changes were needed in the enactments, and subsequently the farm laws were formally repealed by the government.